You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company once again on this Tuesday as we look forward to the two golf events this week, Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall in situ to do just that. First of all, a warm welcome to the man sitting opposite me here in the studio, Dave Tindall. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm well, very well. I'm looking forward to this week, two decent events on the respective tours. Admittedly, the European Tour event, a little bit of a letdown with the field that's assembled there. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this week.
I quite like the change in time for the American one because it's in South Korea. I quite like that idea of waking up to it.
Yeah, I like the lack of...
And that kind of adrenaline rush when you check the leaderboard for the first time. Suggests I haven't got much of a life, doesn't it?
All I dislike is that you can, like, sometimes catch the... If you're up late, you can track some of the early movers kind of thing.
Yes.
But there's no shot tracker, which annoys me.
Yeah.
But I suppose when you have those events on the PGA Tour out in the Far East, you just learn to live with that, don't you, for a short time.
I wonder why they can't get it in place. I know it's sort of volunteers, isn't it?
But yeah.
Surely there's people willing to...
I'd go over if they paid me.
Would you?
Yeah, for a little holiday. Why not?
Would you do it for free? You just... except the expenses.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go, PGA Tour.
Yeah. There's more like David as well, I would imagine.
Oh, I'm sure there's many of us out there that would go and watch a jolly, free golf. Let's talk about last week. Bernd Wiesberger won for the third time on tour this season. Impressive display in the final round. And he appears to have taken his form to a new level this season after that spell on the sidelines. That could be described as a blessing in disguise now, the absence. It's not something I've heard him talk about, whether or not the absence has helped him, but having that time off the tour, he seems to have come back reinvigorated, and he's playing sensationally.
Has there been anything like he spent hours working on his short game or something?
Well,
like
I've not heard
that would make sense, wouldn't it, a bit?
Yeah, maybe I've missed it, but I've not heard him,
because obviously he was
questioned about it.
His
really.
Tee to green is always, you know, his iron play is always up there.
Yeah.
But then so many times people said, oh, Facebook has let them down putting, but that's sort of become a slight non-issue now, hasn't it? He sort of, that doesn't hold him back. And what's that, 3 wins in 13 starts, 2 Rolex Series events?
Is this a purple patch or is this him making his move into the elite?
I think it's one of those kind of like Alex Noren purple patches where get him while he's hot now, because I'm not sure
he'll stay that way forever.
No. I mean, what was he, 34, I think? So he's sort of in the prime, but quite a few years back he... Was he there something like the 54-hole leader in the PGA or something?
Yeah.
He was PGA.
Yeah. I vaguely remember that, and I was just... When we were talking about Wiesberger there, I didn't want to mention it because I wasn't sure if I was misremembering things.
So you think, well, if we can do that, sort of where would his best chance be for a major? And I mean, what did he win the Irish Open on?
Yeah.
He's run up in one, won the Scottish and the Irish. So we can clearly play Lynx golf. I don't know, it's a shame there's sort of not an Open right now. Mm. I don't know, but yeah, he's a funny player because I didn't think he had this in him to go that far.
No, I didn't either.
You kind of put him and Hugh Slouten on a sort of level
like
playing
kind
field.
They're good. A European Tour quality journeyman.
Yeah. They're good, then they both had a little injury. And if someone had said which one would come back and win 3 times, you wouldn't have said, oh, it would be Wiesberger. Well, you would have said none of them, wouldn't you? But yeah, amazing run.
And on the PGA Tour, Lanto Griffin.
He
was definitely one that got away last week, unfortunately. This sounds like horrible after timing, doesn't it? But I didn't have a bet in the event last week, so on my head be it. But Lanto Griffin would have been one of two that I quite liked when we were going through the honourable mentions. And when you said I've got a 50-1 shot, I thought immediately it's Lanto Griffin.
Yeah.
And it was Bronson Bagoon, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was findable, wasn't he? Four straight top 20s coming into that event.
It was an easy one, wasn't it? Just playing well at the moment.
Yeah, that old classic.
Yeah, and could win. But he's made a number of cuts on the spin now. I think it's 16 cuts on the spin. I might be making that number up, but he's just been ultra consistent, and he struggled a little bit when he first came on tour, and now he's really taken off.
Flight, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a well-deserved win, I thought.
They interviewed him afterwards and asked him about his name, and it was something like his spirit master or something his parents had given him.
Okay.
And he said he'd Googled Lanto and couldn't find another one on the entire planet. Must be one, surely.
I love it. Lanto Griffin, a winner on the PGA Tour. Let's get stuck into this week then, because plenty to talk about on the respective tours. We'll start with the Open de France with Alex Noren as the 11-1 market leader. Mike Lorenzo Vera is 12-1. Eric Van Rooyen is 14s. Joost Luiten, Matthias Schwab, both 16-1. Thomas Peters, 18-1. Jordan Smith is 22s. Marcus Kinholt, 25-1, 33-1. And bigger the rest. And for my money, this is one of the biggest disappointments of the entire season.
Of your entire life.
Seeing a field like this for this event on such a wonderful golf course. I know it's all about the bottom line with the players, and the tour is clearly focused to such a degree on the Rolex Series events that there's got to be some slack somewhere, and this tournament's taken a back seat. None of the world's top 50 in the lineup for the French Open, and Alex Noren at the top of the betting, more by default. I know that he's got a sensational course record with that win last year, preceded by a couple of top 10 finishers, but he's been largely out of form this season. I looked at the field and thought, why? Because this is my favourite
course
on tour. Yeah. Definitely Le Golf National, and you were there last year for the Ryder Cup.
Blimey, time flies, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. And you're thinking, what a great... I don't know how they decide where it goes in the schedule, but you would have thought the Ryder Cup would have given it an extra boost.
Yeah.
Like, why? Well, maybe, no, it's
maybe
all down
to the Ryder Cup was the pinnacle for the golf course. You know, in leading up to that, we'd had some fantastic French Open finishers, and then maybe that was like the denouement. And
very good.
And since then, it's taken a back seat now, which is a... Because you've been to the course. It is one of the standouts, isn't it, on
the
tour?
It's a fantastic course, yeah. And you kind of... Well, I'm sure it's down to money and politics and everything, but you kind of wonder why it isn't afforded Rolex Series. I mean, why would it be behind Italy?
Yeah.
Trying to push Italy. It's a good course, but it's no Le Golf National,
I would say.
Maybe they're pushing Italy because the Ryder Cup's in Italy. In what, 2022, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not at that course, by the way, but in Rome. Mm. Maybe it's that. But however you look at it, it just seems, what a pity. Quel dommage.
As for the course, par 71, measures 7,245 yards. The finish is so difficult, especially if you miss that fairway on 18. Last two winners, Tommy Fleetwood and Alex Noren, have found plenty of fairways en route to their respective successes, and it usually runs firm and fast. Water comes into play on a number of the holes as well, and when the wind whips up, it can feel linksy. It's just an absolute beauty. And I think from a betting perspective this week, I've got three picks. I managed to poke holes in a number of the market leaders, and that meant to me there was value elsewhere.
Yeah, I quickly glossed over those at the top end of the betting. Not because I think they can't win, but just the prices were
poor.
Sort of like, nothing to entice you, I don't think.
So I've got three selections
this week. I've got two, so you'll be leading off.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll match on a couple or one, perhaps, here. Callum Shinquin is my first selection.
We do, yes.
Oh, you've gone with him as well, have you?
Yeah.
55-1, Callum Shinquin. I think he's just worth a few quid at that price on a golf course that clearly suits his game.
Yeah.
We know he can handle windy, links-like conditions. Should have won the Scottish Open when Rafa Cabrera-Bello beat him, yeah. And he's shown a nice run of form. He clearly has issues with his health, doesn't he? Because prior to his last two starts, he'd withdrawn on a couple of occasions.
Yeah. withdrawn with a 77 in the European Open, a 76 in Sweden.
So that's kind of a wealth warning, isn't it?
Unless he was just playing rubbish and had the hump.
Possibly. Yeah, but he's clearly showed no ill effects. He had a chance to win in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Faltered with a final round 74 to finish fifth. And showed no ill effects from that finish when finishing 10th at the Alfred Dunhill Links. Still searching for his first win, has had chances, but he's first in strokes gained off the tee this season, which I think sets him up perfectly for Le Golf National, where you do need to work it into the fairways, don't you, to have a chance of winning. And he was 9th in 2016 here as well, so hopefully the stars are aligning for Shinquin this week and 55-1 fair.
Yeah, no, I agree with all of that. If you're having a why can't he win reason, you would say his last two rounds there are both 81s.
Yeah.
Not great, is it? But and another withdrawal after one of them, after the second 81. What thing goes on there?
Yeah, I have no idea. There's clearly something that ails him occasionally.
Bit of the old Victor Dubuisans in him.
Possibly, yeah. But 55-1 for a guy that's finished top 10 on his last couple of starts and has a 9th place finish at the track, reasonable to me.
Yeah, and the track, as you say, just seems to suit him. It's not like you just think, oh, that 9th was some weird case that he was playing brilliantly for 1 week only. You just think it makes sense that he would come 9th on this course.
Yeah.
So, yeah, fully agreed on that.
Do you want me to go on with my second selection then? Given Callum Shinquin's one of yours?
I guess, what if this is one of mine?
Oh, yeah, it could
be.
If it's one of yours, you can make the case.
Yeah.
Matthew Southgate is my second selection at 45-1. It's another Lynx link with Southgate, and I'd fully expect him to bounce back from his missed cut in the Italian Open, which came just a couple of weeks after he blew that big chance to win in the Alfred Dunhill Links. Obviously, there's a chance that he might not be over that loss yet, because it was such an impactful defeat you felt on that occasion. You felt for him, didn't you? Because he had such a... it was an open goal, really. A glorious opportunity to win. But hopefully he's strong enough mentally to put that behind him, because this course strongly suits his game. He's got plenty of course form. It has either been feast or famine, with a couple of miscuts, an 11th place finish and a 5th place finish from his 4 starts at Le Golf National. But he's such a strong iron player. Short game is obviously his issue, and it's been something that he's talked about as his real struggle since he came out on tour. But he ranks 8th in driving accuracy, 16th in greens in regulation on tour this season, which is just outstanding tee to green play. And on a course like that, or like this, that's a key factor. It might be a case that he has such a bad week around the greens that he doesn't contend, but hopefully that won't be the case. And 45-1 Matthew Southgate, a point each way, my second pick.
Yeah, do you want a fun fact on Matthew Southgate?
Please.
How best to couch this. After his last 4 top tens, he's missed the cut on the very next start.
That's a nice...
So it's like, I know there's a worry that... It's like he almost needs to sort of throw in a bad one after a good one.
Get it out of his system.
Yeah, and he's still, it's sort of hanging over him a bit. Mm. I'll just give you the details. 6th in the Belgian knockout, then he missed the cut in Germany. 10th in the Scandinavian Invitation, then missed the cut in Switzerland. 10th at the KLM Open, missed the cut at Wentworth. 2nd in the Alfred Dunhill Links, missed the cut at the Italian Open. So... he's not averse to throwing in a missed cut, and there's no need to sort of panic that he has thrown in a missed cut. So, yeah, it's almost better to back him after one, possibly.
Yeah, possibly. Hopefully that's the case. 45-1. It's not giving that much away, but because of the field, that's the price that you'd expect. So 45-1 for Matthew Southgate.
Have you ever heard of the 27 Club?
No.
Possibly not the right man to ask, given it's music-based.
Okay.
Have you ever heard? It's how a lot of famous musicians die at the age of 27.
I have heard that. Yeah. I didn't know whether it was called the 27 Club. Amy Winehouse.
Amy Winehouse, Kurt Cobain, Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, Brian Jones at the Rolling Stones. So why am I on about that?
I have no idea.
Because
I hope it's not for any macabre reasons.
No, I've done a bit of research to try and justify backing an old timer.
Is it Stuart Singh?
It is Stuart
Singh. Yeah, I looked at him closely as well.
And almost thrillingly for me, when I started looking at old winners, Miguel Angel Jimenez was 46 when he won this.
Yeah.
Thong Chai Jaidi was 46 when he won this. And Stuart Singh's 46.
Nice.
Isn't that nice?
I like it.
What's perfect symmetry?
I think 50 to 1's fine.
He's missed all 8 cuts here and hasn't made a cut since 2015 on any tour, but that factor is going to go. Now, actually, it makes a bit of sense. It'd be quite a sweet little sort of reverse as well, wouldn't it, if an American won after the Ryder Cup shenanigans? Yeah. I would argue if you'd put Sink on that team, they might have done a bit better because this is a thinky course, isn't it? This is more thinking than just walloping away.
Absolutely.
And Sink can think, as a catchphrase for you. You've mentioned the links, some of your picks, and obviously he won the Open, famously, in 2009, but not very handily.
You were one of the only people that wanted him to beat Tom Watson down the stretch.
I'm glad you remember that, yeah. And do you remember why?
Yeah, because you thought it would be farcical if someone that old could win a major golf tournament.
Yeah, I thought
the sport.
If you're trying to spread the sport, an old man winning would have just confirmed everyone's kind of bias and preconceptions that old dodderers play it.
Yeah.
Not that Stuart Sink was like 20.
No.
And like a young stud sort of.
But he was in his late 30s, wasn't he?
Yeah, but yeah, so.
Which is fine.
Whilst all these sort of press boys were sort of getting all dewy-eyed and
when do you get to that age where you can no longer, it's no longer acceptable if you win a golf major championship? What's the age? What's the threshold?
It's a bit different these days because you still think of someone as, if like Mickelson
of him as a young man, don't you?
Yeah, but Tom Watson was, I think you very much put him in another era.
Yeah.
So anyway, how did we get onto that?
I don't know.
Right.
Because we were talking about age, weren't we?
Yeah, talking about age and the Opens. Sink won his 10 years ago, but he was 20th at Royal Portrush a couple of months ago, whenever it was, July. Time flies. But that wasn't a one-off, really, because since then, he's played nicely. And very recently, his results are nice. 28th at the Sanderson Farms in his first start on this year's PGA Tour. And then 9th in the Houston Open, which I thought was good. He was top 16 in greens and reg for both of those tournaments. His stats off the tee aren't ideal, possibly, at the minute, but I still think he will get to that course. He's seen it for the first time and will think, great, this is a thinky man's course.
I agree.
And then if somehow I can get a message to him that being 46 is a massive advantage, that could just help. But I thought all in all, for what he offers, a sort of nice plotter on that sort of course, 50 to 1,
in decent form.
Yeah. Sometimes I think when you get an American coming over, the price can go a bit strange because they think, oh, he's a bit out of his depth. And maybe there's a bias that Americans are rubbish on that course. Mm. But I think someone like him, maybe Jim Furyk, I think they would like that.
Yeah.
Le Golf National. And it just wasn't, I mean, it was set up for the Ryder Cup, wasn't it, to kind of negate the Bombers?
And it worked.
Yeah, it worked to a T, didn't it? So I don't quite know why he's playing here. To be honest, have you heard anything?
No, I've not.
Why him of all people? But I think he can make his first start a winning one, or at least contend heavily.
Yeah, I'm going with an American, actually.
Oh, yeah?
I'm taking Julian Suri here, which is
that helps my argument for Sink, then. Yeah. Americans can play well, though.
Yeah, he finished second last year, didn't he? Yeah, should have won. I still believe that he's got the potential to be one of the best players in this field, and that's...
Yeah,
what's making me lean towards him at 40 to 1?
Well, it was for a while, wasn't he? He was kind of thinking he's moved on some levels.
He had that spell when he came back,
mm.
and he posted like a tied second, tied fourth, a 16th, a 20th in quick succession, and you thought, wow, it's only a matter of time before he wins again. Julian Suri, and it's not quite materialised, but he played much better in Italy last week to finish 18th, and he'll have to drive the ball a lot straighter. I see a lot of potential there with Julian Suri, and hoping he can take advantage and reproduce the fireworks he showed in this event last year. And I just thought, for one of a player with so much potential at 40 to 1 in this lineup, was good. So I'm taking Julian Suri, and I'll just slightly rein back my stakes on him and go half a point each way because it is a little bit of a flyer,
right?
Because he's been so out of form. So 40 to 1 Julian Suri, half a point each way.
Thinking on my feet here, now that you've got Shinquin,
yeah,
I think I'm going to give you Shinquin. and I'm going to throw in one other one.
Are you? Okay.
Just, I've got a slight feeling of Lanto Griffinitis that okay. I'll miss him, and I wish I'd put him in. He's not quite 46, but he's 44, Soren Kjeldsen.
Yeah.
Looking for someone who's kind of bouncing back to form. And he played really well in Italy last week, just sort of went to pieces a bit at the end, but finished tied 25th. That's now three cuts made out of four after a bit of a spell in the doldrums. But this is absolutely his course. Mm. He's got loads of good finishes. So many top 20s, three top 10s. And again, for the reason that he's a plotter and a plodder who can play, hit it nicely off the tee and just work his way around steadily. And I think his eyes light up. I mean, if you look back, he's hardly missed this tournament in about 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
The latest, he had a run from 2012 to 2015 where he went 9th, 8th, 18th, 15th. And it all makes sense because I think this is his sort of golf course. And it's just trying to catch someone on the up again without fully having that obvious spread of results that is happening. So it's quietly there, 55th at the KLM Open, 41st at Wentworth. Didn't make the cut the Alfred Dunhill Links, but shot two rounds in the 60s in rounds two and three. And then nicely in Italy last week, just didn't get it done in the final day when he shot 76. But I think he's someone who's coming into form without quite having it stuck to his forehead that he is.
He's 70-1, Soren Kjeldsen. I liked Eduardo Molinari at 70-1. I know his form at Le Golf National is patchy, to say the least, but he talked about, after his finish in Italy last week, about how tee to green he just played absolutely brilliantly, back to his best, but he had a nightmare on the greens.
Yeah.
And you can get away with it a little bit at this golf course. So I thought Eduardo Molinari might go okay at 70-1. Of the market leaders, were there, I know we dismissed them. Who was the most tempting?
Difficult one. Possibly Matthias Schwab.
Yeah, same with me, but do you want to back a player with his profile at 16-1? It's not won yet.
Yeah, obviously he's a bit of a top 10 machine, isn't he, at the minute? He's got four in his last six. I think what maybe just helped a little bit, he did play this last year and finished 37th, which I thought was a good first knock for him. Finished with a 69. He's played decently on the Challenge Tour in France as well, a couple of top 15s in his last three. But yeah, the price just wasn't getting me. It's a shame. If we'd had a few more good players in the field, he would have been a sort of backable price, but he's not.
Any others you want to mention before we move on?
No, I think we've covered that.
I do as well. The CGA Cup is the event on the PGA Tour this week. 78 golfers in the lineup as we head to Jeju Island in South Korea. And Nine Bridges Golf Course is hosting the event.
And it's only got
once
eight
again.
Bridges.
It's what?
It's only got eight bridges.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So why do they call it Nine Bridges then?
Just read it somewhere.
All right. You need to come up with the extra.
All right. Don't know. That's for text us, tweet in now.
Yeah, that is one of those, isn't it? Yeah, drop us a line on Twitter.
@DaveTindallGolf.
Okay, so there's eight bridges at Nine Bridges. It's hosted the last couple of years, and we've had two high-class winners. Justin Thomas won 2 years ago, Brooks Koepka winning last year. The weather has been the determining factor as far as the scoring is concerned, though, because in 2017, the wind was up and Thomas got the better of Mark Leishman in a playoff. The winning score on that occasion was 9 under par, but last year it was benign and Brooks Koepka won with 21 under par, beating the field by four. Looking at the weather forecast, Friday looks like it's going to be the worst of the 4 days, but the wind shouldn't be too much of a factor this year. I have this golf course down to approach play and putting. Putting's been a significant factor here because the greens are quite undulating, and if you don't get the speed right or you shortside yourself, you can make some, not you can't make big numbers, but you can three putt. And I think it's the work around the greens and approaching the greens and on the greens that's significant, where the fairways are quite easy to find and the bombers have a chance to just rip it here.
This, by contrast to France, I think this is a week where you could literally just put your money on Thomas and Koepka and just say thank you and you quite likely get the winner.
Yeah, they're strong, aren't they?
Yeah.
They are strong at the top of the betting. I suppose the only thing is that I think Thomas will be ready and raring to go. Kepka's
coming back from an injury we didn't really know about,
yeah,
on his knee, and missed the cut in Vegas. Mm. So can he just jump straight to being a winner?
I think Thomas holds stronger credentials at a very similar price.
Well, I'm close to putting him up, to be honest.
Are you?
Because I can remember 2 years ago when he won there, going into it, he was saying stuff like, I'm running on fumes, he played like every tournament, he was just absolutely out on his feet. And I think
And still won.
And still won.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning it on the podcast.
And there's that. So if he can win there when he's kind of his head, you know, and he's just sort of half dead. And then the other factor is, if it's not going to be super windy, I think he could make mincemeat of it in maybe two of the four rounds, 63, something like that. So I'm going to put him up, I think.
Are you?
I don't want to let him go
at
that price.
A couple of points, three points
yeah,
to win?
Sort of 2 points at 13 to 2. It's sort of to cover the week kind of thing and a bit more.
Yeah, I come into... They must change the golf prices at about 11... Yeah, 11.25 every single week, because I've got 7-1 on my screen, just quoted 7-1, and now he's 13-2.
Yeah, that's a bit annoying, that, but...
Yeah, it's changed now, the market.
Yeah. Just somehow feel a bit shorter, doesn't it?
13-2 Thomas. Kepka's 8-1 now. Matsuyama 16s. Hovland 20s. Tommy Fleetwood 20s. Colin Morikawa is 22. Sung Jaim 22-1. Jordan Spieth is 22-1. And it's 25-1 and bigger the rest. So is he your sole selection, or have you got another pick as well?
Is that a Korean pun, my sole selection?
No, but it's in Jeju. Now that you've mentioned it, yeah, I'll take it.
No, I've got another one, but I'm going to put him in there. He hasn't finished outside the top 12 in his last 7 starts. He's got a win there at the BMW.
Yeah.
I can just see him winning this again.
On it.
I just think the conditions are ripe.
2 points win Justin Thomas at 13-2. I've just got one pick for the event. My selection is Tyrrell Hatton at 40-1.
Yeah. I was looking closely at him.
Yeah, I fancy he might have a good week, because you think about... We know that this is all about, or I think it's all about, approach play and putting, basically. Mm. And those are the two facets of Hatton's game that are strongest. And when he's on song anyway, particularly the putting. And I know he didn't feel like he had a great ball striking week up in Scotland, where he finished 15th in the Dunhill Links, which is a disappointment for him. But he was much better when 18th in Italy. He ranked 14th in strokes gained approach that week. And he was one of only two players without a three-putt last year.
Yeah.
And he finished 14th. And I think a low-scoring birdie fest really plays into Hatton's hands.
I read that
stat.
That's
where he excels.
Yeah. I read that stat about him not having a three-putt, and I started to think about it. And it makes sense, because these are big undulating greens that are slower than normal
for an
American. So you kind of think of...
Scotland,
yeah.
Yeah. So I think Hatton will go well. I think 40-1's... very fair.
Yeah.
So he's my only pick.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the local hero and go for Sung Jaim.
Won last week
in Korea. Didn't he? He's from the region, isn't he? Is it
Jeju?
Jeju.
That's the way I've been pronouncing.
So he's from there. He's just so good, isn't he? Just so consistent. Never seems to have any kind of dip.
Yeah.
At all. You think, does he ever have a week off? But he just keeps plodding away, doesn't he? And some of his contemporaries have shown that you can look at their prices, but they'll win at those prices, so you feel like you're missing out on them.
Yeah.
He won the Genesis Championship in South Korea.
What price? Did you see any betting for last week? No, I didn't either.
I don't know who he was up against, but...
I just wonder what price he was last week.
Yeah,
Someone will be able to fill us in, I'm sure.
It didn't sound like it was a sort of doddle, because it was, he shot 70, 74, 71, 67
yeah,
to win.
It was the final, he must have been down the leaderboard in that final round as him to the
title.
To
do it that way, I think, as well. It's not like he was under the gun all week. I think he's come out and flew in the final round. And then he was runner-up, wasn't he, at the Sanderson Farms Championship, and then top 20 just about every time he's teed it up for a few months. Played it last year. There's nothing great about his result last year, 41st. It's a 78-man field, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so nothing great, but obviously he's kicked on since then and he is now proper player. And he won Rookie of the Year, didn't he, I think, last season? Pretty sure.
Yeah, I think so.
So he's just one of these very young talents who has been mixing it with a lot of these big names and these rivals this week, and put him on in his homeland, and I think at 22s I'm willing to play at that price.
There were a few that I liked away from the top end of the market. I think Matthew Wolf is going to have a big week here. Birdie Fest for Matthew Wolf, and he's just an exceptional talent, and he's keeps on being underrated, I think, by the market. You look at the price of Victor. I know Victor Hovland is an exceptional talent at 20-1. Colin Morikawa at 22-1, and then there's a big jump to him at 40-1.
Yeah,
he's not quite in the same bracket as those, seemingly, according to the betting. But everything that he's done in his career so far suggests he should be on a level
he's
with
not
them
as consistent,
or close
is he?
To them. Not quite as consistent, no. But he finished tied 18th. In his most recent start at the Shriners, was tied 19th in the Wyndham. He's only missed one of his last six cuts. That includes that win in the 3M Open. He puts well. He's strong on approach. It doesn't matter. He can bomb it off the tee, obviously. And he's 40-1, so I think Matthew Wolf will go well this week. And we're waiting for Victor Hovland to win, aren't we?
Yeah.
I just wonder because putting's the... It's maybe his Achilles heel putting, and I rate it as very important this week. So
yeah,
it's kind of in the back of my mind.
Yeah, he's frustrating, isn't he? Because he'll shoot his best round from kind of off the pace when he's out of contention.
Yeah,
so gives a slight flattering look to his results sometimes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I see him playing well every week. I wonder if you would. Pick Benny Arn at all?
Yeah, I'd looked at Benny Arn.
His 50s, I think, with just a smattering of better recent form, I think he would have, obviously the South Korean angle,
yeah,
he would have been quite a fair bit shorter.
But he finished 11th here a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and
well.
That was with a sort of poor final round. So
missed his last two cuts.
Missed his last two cuts, but he was third before that, and obviously that third was this season, the new PGA Tour season, which was in... Well, it finished on the 22nd of September, so it's less than a month ago. He was third at the Sanderson Farms. It might be a case of, because he had a great chance to win that, it might be a case of the old Matthew Southgate thing he needed just to get it out of his system a bit.
Yep.
So I thought he was a reasonable price.
Ian Poulter I looked at as well, 62. I'm just always interested when Poulter goes over
good
to
in
Asia.
The Far East,
yeah,
he?
He's very good in the Far East, and he's finished 10th and 15th on his two starts here. Admittedly, he's not played well in his last couple of starts, but before that, he was in decent nick, Ian Poulter, and if he'd come in to this on the back of his like run in the playoffs, where he was well just before the playoffs in that FedEx St Jude, we finished 8th and 10th in the Northern Trust, even 31st in the BMW Championship, he'd be a much shorter price than 60-1. But he's missed his last, or he missed his last cut, and then was down the field at Wentworth.
But he didn't really like Wentworth.
No,
so.
And he's not played that much recently either. So maybe he's just shaking off a little bit of rust.
Yeah, he's definitely goes up a few pounds, doesn't he, when he goes to Asia?
Yeah. So I thought 60s on Poulter was fair.
I wonder, the other one I looked at that kind of price, 50-1, Pat Perez.
Yeah.
Got a seventh and a fifth at the course.
He's had an injury problem.
Yeah, so he was third in Vegas, and then he pulled out last week with a wrist problem.
Yeah.
But
A lot of these injuries I take with a pinch of salt.
A week off.
Yeah, could have done.
Ahead of this. But then I think someone else has pointed out that isn't he sort of got sponsorship this week,
oh, right, okay.
Link, which might mean he's thinking, oh, well, I better turn up.
Okay.
Bad wrist or
yeah,
not.
So there's a few issues there then.
Yeah, but you can't... it's a bit dangerous to think, oh, he's got a bad wrist, I can't possibly back him, because often these things are sometimes sort of embellished, these little injuries,
for
certain reasons. Saying it is the case with him.
No.
But who knows?
One player that I've got to mention as well, and you might hate this, but...
Really? Go on.
How do you think Jordan Spieth is going to go this week?
Well, if you're thinking about just the course and its suitability, it should be a good one for him.
Right up his street.
Yeah.
And
there's some room off the tee.
I know that everyone's been saying this guy's in an absolute slump at the moment, but it's generally been one or two crazy, wild holes that have completely derailed him, where he's sprayed the ball to positions that you didn't even know existed on a golf course, and it's cost him, and he's posted some big numbers. You can whack it anywhere on this course, really, off the tee. Yeah. And his short game is, I mean, he's coming on into this on the back of his best ever putting season.
Yeah.
He still finished sixth at the Northern Trust Open, was 37th. His form isn't
when you look at it
bad.
On paper, you'd think, who's this young guy? He's pretty good, isn't he? He's like 20th in the Open, 12th at St Jude.
Had a chance to win the PGA Championship, finishing third.
Yeah, 7th at Memorial. It's sort of, I think you need to recalibrate kind of.
I think it's because he just not
so
lived
much.
Up to the incredible heights he set early on in his career.
Yeah, we now think of 20th as a bit naff, a bit rubbish.
But if there's some, he's coming into this off a 2 month break as well.
Yeah.
But if there's someone that's going to be absolutely on it and working so hard in the off, it's going to be him,
all
isn't
sorts
it?
Of charts and
he'll have done
pens
so much
working
work
out and stuff, wouldn't he?
In those 2 months, he isn't going to rest until he's back at the top. I don't think.
If we read on his interview that he's. I think he has given an interview, actually. I think you can find it.
Has he?
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see about that, because you know what? He was the one towards the top that tempted me this week, because if there's a course that Taylor made for him, it's this one.
Keep talking and I'll find that interview, because
22-1 he is, Spieth, anyway, this week. So he was one that definitely stood out to me, away from the guys we've already mentioned and, of course, our picks as well. Seamlessly, we found the script. We didn't even have to pause the podcast for 10 minutes to find it, did we, Dave?
No. This is all live without any editing. So I found something, So he said he's been asked about his goals for the new season. He said, I've been working hard on my tee to green game to get it back on track to where it's been before. And it feels close to being done. I know he often says things are close.
Yeah, I was just as you were reading that, I thought this is what he always says.
Yeah, but so that's kind of, at least it shows, he's not come out and said, oh yeah, I've just forgotten about the game and I'd put my feet up for 8 weeks to totally recharge my batteries. So he's been working away. On the golf course, he just says he likes the imagination that's needed on it, hitting shots into the wind, undulating in difficult greens. So we've heard him say that before. And that probably carries more. He always says it about Augusta National. We know his record there. So I think he likes it when he gets a test that's not just bog standard PGA Tour.
Definitely, yeah. I like the one of the questions here is, first of all, I want to say I'm a huge fan of yours and I really hope that you will win this tournament this time. There's a Korean player called Sung Jae-im and he was selected as Rookie of the Year for the PGA Tour and he's been doing a great job on the field. So do you believe he is one of the contenders to win the tournament this year and what are your thoughts on him? There's always a question of that nature.
That's it.
So Spieth, I think 22-1 is perfectly acceptable.
I think so. So, well, who would you back then? Well, I've picked him. If you're in a match, bet him versus Spieth. I think we could reignite our violence.
Lunch match bet. Do you fancy a lunch match bet on that?
Yeah, go on then.
Go on, that's a rarity, isn't it?
Yeah, MV Spieth.
Resurrected the free lunch.
Yes, there you go. Oh, good. Thought.
I went on such a run on these free lunches that I was fed for many a month. So I'm hoping that's going to be the case again.
They actually talk about that. When Spieth answers about him, he says, yeah, he's a good buddy of mine. You have friends to go to dinner and hang out with.
Oh, brilliant. That's nice.
Yeah.
Very good.
Perhaps it'll be a topic of that they'll talk about, that they're in a match bet.
Yeah. Do you think they'll have to tune into the podcast? Okay, shall we wrap it up?
Yes.
Let's do so. Picks this week?
So, in France, I will go a point each way on Stuart Sink at 50s and a point each way on Søren Kjelstad at
70s.
Yeah.
I'm going to point each way Callum Shinquin at 55s, point each way Matthew Southgate at 45s, and half a point each way on Julian Surrey at 40-1. And the CJ Cup.
I will go with Justin Thomas at 13-2, 2 points win.
Yep.
And I will go with Sung Jae-im at 22-1, a point each way.
Just one bet for me, a point each way on Tyrrell Hatton at 40-1 this week. Dave, thank you for your company.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listen. Do follow us on Twitter at Dave Tindall Golf and at D Kellner. Check out all the markets at williamhill.com and on the app. And tell your friends about this podcast as well if you wish to do so and you've enjoyed it. And tweet us to let us know if you haven't. Thank you for your company, and we'll be back next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.